Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Priscilla Torres.
Welcome to Ivy Podcast. I am your host, Priscilla Torres, and I am being joined today with Josh Hetch, who currently serves as a talent acquisition leader for Royal Caribbean Group. Joshua is not only a subject matter expert in recruitment, human resources, and business development since 2006, but he has served in a variety of leadership capacities for the last 10 years, has led global teams in matrixed and KPI-driven environments, and is incredibly passionate about some of the topics that we're going to talk about today. So Josh, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Priscilla, for having me. I appreciate this, and I love joining anything relating to Ivy Podcast.
Nice. Thank you. I very much appreciate that. So if you don't mind getting us started and kind of just sharing a little bit more about what your day-to-day or what your career is.
So the day-to-day has obviously changed a little bit due to COVID. Pre-COVID, I'm obviously here at Royal Caribbean. I was responsible for our new build and fleet modernization departments, recruiting all different types of talent, hiring for a number of departments within those two. Post-COVID, roles have definitely changed. We've seen our departments transform into something that we've never seen before due to these unprecedented times. So my role now, on top of recruitment for new build and fleet modernization, I'm responsible for logistics, procurement, supply chain, global marine operations. And then on top of that, we've undergone a number of projects where we're tightening up and buttoning up the process for Royal. Once we get the green light to return to service, we will be completely ready, safe and sound for our crew, our passengers, and our communities. And we've just been working on these projects very diligently and hopefully coming to fruition very soon.
I completely agree. I know that it's been tough, specifically with the hospitality industry and the impacts. I mean, COVID-19, for the most part, has impacted all businesses, right? But more so for the hospitality. And I'd love to see, these cruise industries or different hospitality organizations who have really been incorporating crisis leadership as one of their fundamentals in the way that they're leading their organizations forward, just to provide hope, to continue that momentum and that excitement within their staff to keep going. And I know that's one of my favorite topics on crisis leadership and an area that I've been studying. So can you tell me a little bit more about how, the COVID-19 obviously impacted your industry? What type of strategies or practices did you put in place to practice that crisis leadership within your organization?
Great question. And of course, why not start off with that? Because I think that's the most relevant and most important to us, to you, to everybody, I think globally. I work very closely with our global security team. Our global security team manages global intelligence, threat analysis, like COVID-19, of course, which is the hottest and number one topic for us. Given the impact that COVID-19 had on our industry, we had a number of strategies and practices that are put in place by our global security team and threat analytics team. So COVID-19 was an instance of, the unexpected. We didn't expect this, right? So the company utilized multiple strategies to manage the situation, and working with the likes of Ingrid Stoudemire, who I respect greatly, who actually I work very close with. She's our manager of global security and intelligence analytics. A couple bullets that I want to just go over real quick. Leading decisively, right? So that's number one. As soon as we recognized the impact that COVID-19 had on us and our industry, we had put together kind of cross-functional teams dealing with medical operations, public health, global intelligence, situation management, and the company instituted an everyday leadership meeting, and every day since COVID has hit, to ensure all relevant issues could be discussed in kind of a collaborative and dynamic environment, right? We want to hear from the likes of everybody that would be relevant to that discussion. And then continually frame the crisis. So we recognize that, you know, COVID was an evolving issue. It was growing. The spread was, you know, was growing. And for that, we cannot become, you know, too wedded to a single approach or a single mindset. So this daily meeting that they have allowed for plans to evolve. They look at events from, you know, perspective hours of the day, the days in the week, the weeks of the year, and so far how it's been going and how it's progressed, the spread of the virus, where it's hit. From a health perspective, this allowed for us to take any type of precautionary measures that we felt deemed necessary for guests and crew in advance. From a business perspective, this allowed us to kind of track and monitor where the virus impacts most, where it's headed, if we can forecast that, and to adjust our business according. And again, this is all, you know, from these daily meetings that our team has, and then actively just communicating, you know, to this day, the company sends out, you know, what we call the daily COVID-19 summary of all major issues associated with the pandemic, where it's hit hardest, how it's affecting us, any, you know, differential operational elements, ports, itinerary, crews and crew administration. It's included, you know, with the media, the public, and any one of our travel partners. And then, you know, finally, you know, we want within these meetings to have some sort of actionable intelligence, right? So one of the things that allowed Royal Caribbean Group to navigate the COVID crisis has been an emphasis on actionable intelligence, where we cast a wide net through our leaders, through our travel partners, through our security management and crisis management team to obtain crucial information from a range of resources. And this allowed for the information to inform multiple viewpoints and allowed us to stay kind of ahead of the curve as much as we can. So although the cruise industry has been hit, you know, disproportionately, you know, by COVID, on the business side, Royal Caribbean employed all of these crisis leadership principles, you know, from the beginning to protect us, our crew, our guests, and the health and safety of all of us.
And I commend you all because it seems that you guys are thriving in this crisis leadership methodology. And I'd love to see that. I wrote down some notes, you know, you increase safety measures. How important was that to not only provide that psychological safety for your employees, but also keeping a forefront of making sure that, you know, you're keeping your guests and any future stays safe as well. The fact that you created collaboration across these cross-team models, and that seems to have been very successful. Communications, it comes down to communication, and it sounds like you guys are doing such a wonderful job with that, and it's so focused on the future, and I look forward to seeing how we'll be able to get back to normal.
I know. Yeah, we work. I can't wait. No, all of us can't wait. You know, we work very closely with the CDC, of course. We're mandated basically by the CDC. And they announced, I posted on LinkedIn a few weeks ago, actually maybe 2 weeks ago, that the CDC announced, you know, the cruise lift, the framework for a phase resumption of ship operations. So that was like, that was on a Friday, and my first line in my sense on LinkedIn was, this made my weekend. So it's just, you know, we're starting to see the light. It's a glimmer of light, a glimmer of hope, but we're getting there. I can feel it. Us as a company can feel it, and we're starting to see it.
Of course. Absolutely. Well, we're excited as a cruise junkie. I'm so excited. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit. And you have such an incredible wealth of knowledge with regards to recruiting, specifically in a global market. So I'd love to just pick your brain on some strategies. So given that, you know, we've had to shape and change the way that we recruit and retain our talent in this market, leveraging digital agent technology, can you tell me some strategies or maybe some practices that you have found to be successful in recruiting during these times?
Yeah, of course. It's been different. You know, nobody's ever seen anything like this. So me being in recruitment for, you know, 15 years, it's, you know, everything has changed. You know, I'll just start off with that. And, you know, really companies, you know, Royal, every other cruise line, all hospitality, every company really who's been tremendously affected by this has to first and foremost, just adapt, you know, as much as, you know, as we move to, you know, kind of a much more, you know, virtual and digital age, where we're coming to, you know, interview with podcasts and do conduct interviews in, you know, t-shirts and shorts. I mean, that's kind of the norm now. So I think some of the strategies that we're leveraging, you know, from a digital and technology perspective, but also just overall, you know, what hiring managers should be doing. And, you know, hiring managers now have to make virtual hires. You know, I mean, really, it's essential that we hire for business critical roles first and foremost. And that's been done before. We've hired virtually, but obviously never to this extent. So everyone who was once familiar with interviewing in person and, you know, oh, I find myself interviewing much better in a collaborative environment, you know, speaking in front of hiring managers, speaking in front of potential employees in person is now, I don't want to say a thing of the past, but for now it is. So, hiring, you know, hiring is just completely different. So I believe that some of the strategies that I've used and some of my team have used has been now more, you know, panel interviews. There's more interviews happening for one particular role because we can't really get a sense of how they interact because we're not physically there with them. So there's more interviewers interviewing candidates for potential business critical roles. The fact that companies must realize now that each role they fill, you know, must be like the cream of the crop, the best of the best. And ideally for business, you know, business critical roles, this is what we've shifted to. Personally, whenever I conduct initial interviews with candidates before I send them to a hiring manager, I set the stage for them. I have to set the expectations that, you know, we use Microsoft Teams, we use WebEx, sometimes we'll use Zoom, you know, so I want to make sure that my candidates are fully prepared for that they have, you know, the right background lighting, the right setting to interview well. But yeah, some of the technologies that we've moved away from Skype, which was actually, you know, a good thing. I always liked Skype, but I find the accessibility and the technical capacity that Microsoft Teams is that they offer is a lot better suited for us, what we want to accomplish, you know, sharing documents, sharing PowerPoint presentations, et cetera. Because again, as you know, everything is virtual. So, you know, I try and set the mental stage for these candidates going in on interviews, but I also set the mental stage for the hiring manager. Whereas if there's technical difficulties or if the sound shuts off, to make sure that they have their phone number accessible. So these are all things that, you know, kind of change the game when it comes to, you know, technology and, you know, our digital virtual interviews now. So I think that in order to, you know, assist with, you know, foreseeing how recruitment and retention strategies get better, well, it's really just, you know, setting the stage for both the employer and the candidate interviewing.
And I love that you said that, because I think that's something that companies should do more of. And it's really, we're learning together. That's been my model this year. It's we're learning and growing together. And
absolutely,
this is uncharted territories. And sometimes some of these candidates, one, have not interviewed in a really long time. Now they're being forced to interview through a computer, and I'm a people person. So even though I am a semi-professional, I guess, in this capacity where I'm constantly in virtual meetings or doing these podcast recordings virtually, I am very much a people person. And you can't, as you mentioned, you can't see those interactions and you can't see that body language that's so crucial to those people skills, right? When we're making these hiring decisions. So yeah, it's hard. So being able to set the tone and educate your candidates and just check off all the boxes to make sure that they are not only dressed professionally, but that they're in a good environment where they have enough lighting and enough sound. I think that's wonderful that you guys are doing that. And I hope our listeners can take note of that, because there's definitely some things that we can do differently with improving our TA strategies within our own organizations.
Yeah, I agree. So,
when it comes to onboarding, what type of changes have you seen? Because now we're doing everything virtually, right? We're doing all the recruiting process, and oftentimes our candidates are not going to meet any of the people that they're working with for months, if not, you know, well, I guess we don't know, right?
We don't know, right?
So
yeah.
So what can you, you know, share with us with regards to onboarding practices?
So onboarding, physical onboarding has remained the same, right? We've switched onboarding companies as far as background checks and drug tests, et cetera. But when it comes down to you know, the personable touch and, you know, the experience, the candidate experience, that's changed quite a bit. Because, you know, I remember my first day going into Royal, my desk was set up by, you know, my HR business partner beautifully with Royal Caribbean t-shirts and pens and notebooks and et cetera. And, you know, I just felt so welcomed. Well, we're trying to take that experience and bring it to their home, right? So a welcome package will come with, you know, pens and t-shirts and, you know, marketing material and, you know, here are all of our ships and colorful pamphlets, et cetera. So, you know, we want them to feel like they're part of the team, even though they're not there and no one's there to be part of a team physically, right? So the onboarding experience has changed quite drastically, where I think the number one thing that we're focused on, not that we weren't before, but even more so now, is communication. And it starts from me and my recruitment team and TA and TA operations to make the candidate aware of every step that's going on in the process, to make them aware of, okay, we've got your drug test back, we've got your background check back, you're clear to start. We're going to send you your welcome package. We're going to send you your IT equipment with a welcome letter. And we want to make them feel extremely welcomed and, you know, feel like they're having the greatest experience, even though we can't provide that physically, right? We also want to engage with our hiring manager who has hired this person, because that's going to be their manager, their superior. So the constant communication between myself, HR business partners, the hiring managers, all with this one particular employee who we have hired, it makes all that much of a difference. Everybody recognizes the situation we're in. And it's the best feeling when you've been searching for a job and all of a sudden Royal Caribbean offers you a job, and or anyone for that matter offers you a job after you're, you know, however long you've been searching. And to have that welcomed experience that we once knew and we miss brought to your to your home, it's a game changer for them. They still feel like they're part of the team. They still feel like they're, you know, a member of Royal or whichever company they join. So I think just the communication aspect has just grown over these past, you know, 7, 8, 9 months.
Yeah, and even just being able to keep them engaged, even through the, not only through the recruiting process, but once they're onboarded, it seems like you guys have done such a great job in making them feel welcomed, allowing them to see a glimpse of your culture and feel those emotions, right, that you would feel if you started in person and had those type of same experiences. So I'm curious to see, what have you been able to implement within your teams that you manage or within the departments that you work with to keep staff engaged during these times?
Well, we do some fun events, you know, like virtual happy hours, which is
we all love those.
I think has been the norm, you know, since the beginning of COVID. So, you know, once COVID hit us, and I'm sure for many others, you know, this is when really things started to take shape. And then for us, and again, for many others, but I'm speaking just of us, you know, this is the time where projects were created, you know, projects that, you know, we didn't even really think of, or maybe we put on the back burner because we were so busy, you know, with our, you know, everyday life at work and the hustle and bustle that we go through. Yeah. This is the time, I don't want to say where it's slowed down, even though for a lot of people it has. Mm-hmm. What I mean by slowed down is now is the time, and the way we keep employees engaged, besides the fun happy hours and the virtual costume parties for Halloween, et cetera, projects on the back end where we button up the process, right? Where we start tightening up everything, process and protocols that we hadn't had once before, or that we kind of just put off before. Mm-hmm. Every process and program that still adds value to us at Royal Caribbean, and of course, every other company I can imagine, has been tightening up to the T. So this means when return to service happens and we get the green light from the CDC and, you know, the community feels safe to do so and we can return to service, we can look back at what we've done and accomplished over these months or however long we'll be, you know, going through this, and everything will be taking shape and taking form for us to hit the ground running. All the way from just speaking on TA and, you know, talent enablement and talent attraction, from enhancements to our ATS, which includes the candidate experience as well. From our human capital management system, you know, was it working for us? Did our system talk to our ATS, et cetera? So those are the types of projects that we've undergone. Even projects such as, you know, sometimes, you know, vendors like recruitment agencies will be utilized that royal. Even cleaning up that process, you know, it's the littlest things that kept us engaged over these months and you know, however long to come, mm-hmm. That have kept us really focused and laser focused on, you know, the end result, mm-hmm. right? So we want to, you know, the process and procedures, the projects and tasks, items that were once just an idea have now become true to what they should have been. Right. Mm-hmm. So we've been working and making sure that once we have that sale order completely lifted and we're back in service, we will be ready across the board as an organization. And our teams have been, you know, diligently waiting for that moment. And when they come, we're going to be ready because of how engaged our employees have been. And I've never seen in the history that I've been working in my career, a greater team than the one I work with now. And I'm sure for so many other companies, they can say the same thing because mm-hmm. there's an end goal to get back to normal. And we want this, you know, enough is enough. And we can't control COVID, of course, but what we can control is what we're doing right now, the safety procedures and processes that we're putting in place.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this whole long exercise, right, of taking all this time to just really take a step back, reflect, look at areas of opportunities, make enhancements within our processes. I think many organizations, such as myself, we're running so much more efficiently, and we have such great new processes that are providing these new experiences for candidates. And in my opinion, I think we're more engaged more than ever. Not only
100%, I agree with you.
Right, not even just within our own organization, but with candidates too. I mean, you even mentioned it earlier that you touch these candidates much more often, and a lot more people are speaking to them. So what a beautiful, unique opportunity where these new hires are coming in and they've met, you know, 7, 8, 9 people from your organization. Those are 9 connections that they already have started in a virtual
environment. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I find myself and my colleagues and so many other, you know, my friends who I talk to or, you know, who are in corporate America, et cetera, or running their own businesses that, you know, yeah, we're working from home, right? We're in the comfort of our, you know, shorts and t-shirts and we've got kids running around and, you know, we're trying to cook, you know, dinner for our family. But then after that, it's 7, 8 o'clock and I find myself back at the desk, which is not a bad thing. I mean, my family is still around and we're still here. We're all paying attention to each other even more than ever. But, you know, people are working longer hours, harder, but at the same time, it's becoming more manageable. Mm-hmm. And working from the comfort of your home, I don't think that I realized how convenient it is, you know? And of course I want to go back to the office. I think we all do. But given the situation we're in, I think that even engages me and my colleagues even more.
Of course, absolutely. And having a company that recognizes that and
100%.
At the forefront makes a whole world of difference. So it sounds like you guys are doing such amazing, amazing work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm loving this. This is such great. It's like, I have so many questions. So when we talked a little bit about, you know, competencies or things that we can do to help us be successful during, you know, managing teams during COVID, right? So when we talk about what skills or competencies do we believe that leaders in talent acquisition or maybe in HR would need to work on in the future to be successful post-COVID?
Mm-hmm. So I think that the strategies that companies need to consider in you know, a successful hire, right? They really need to hone in on what they're really hiring for. And, you know, after, you know, pre-COVID, it's not that I don't think hiring managers weren't focused on it, but now more than ever, we're hiring simply for business critical roles, right? So these executive leadership teams, company-wide, you know, they really need to hone in on what they're trying to hire for, if it's business critical or not, and how will this position and this potential employee impact the company in a positive manner, right? And again, not taking away anything from, you know, that prior to COVID, but really focusing on what's the purpose of this hire. How are they going to add any type of value or bring value to the table, right? The strategies that I think that should be put in place from companies, which we've done already, I think companies really need to develop some sort of KPIs and metrics around almost every role. I mean, even if it's a technical role, you know, where KPIs and metrics aren't necessarily you know, deemed essential, where in the sales role, KPIs or recruitment, KPIs are absolutely essential. But I think every role should have some sort of KPI or metric so they can be measured on their delivery, on their performance. I think one of the biggest investments that, you know, that we're making are upgrades to our applicant tracking system, again, for the candidate experience. I think that's a tremendous strategy that companies can take on and, you know, really have not just an ATS, but systems that talk to each other. Okay. So once a candidate's done with their interviews and they're hired, it automatically directs them to a background check process or an onboarding process, right? So that speaks volumes to us, to the candidate. It's not necessarily less work for us, but it's more focused, and we don't necessarily have to keep our eye on it where it's working for us in the back end. But I really think those KPIs and metrics are extremely important. Things like, you know, on the ATS, you know, getting the right candidate, putting in pre-qualification questions to weed out candidates that may not be a fit. And that's the case wherever, you know, wherever you go, wherever you're hiring, you're going to get a lot of candidates who are just, unfortunately, are just not a fit. And in order to weed them out, pre-qualification questions are, I think, essential. And then, you know, just developing a true hiring plan and committing to these KPIs and metrics that we put in place. I think also another strategy is having a really strong marketing presence, right? We've got some really strong marketing people within our organization. And, you know, having a marketing like delivery plan should be, you know, heavily considered. Companies need to establish best practices in that area, along with companies need to establish best practices for diversity and inclusion, all right, to create sustainable talent pools from trusted sources within their networks. I'm really speaking heavily because this is my profession on the talent acquisition, talent enablement side, but just in general strategies that companies can use. I'm sure the, you know, the powers that be and the like-minded people are collaborating every day on how they can make this just a better situation for themselves than it once was before.
Completely agree. And specifically on the key performance indicators, there's so much value that's behind just having goals set up for any role. Because in the end of the day, we need to move the needle forward in no matter what capacity, what industry, or what we do for line of work. So yeah, being able to implement that methodology and that mindset of using goals to really drive your results and use it to measure how we can improve or what we need to do differently to improve service, to improve quality of care, whatever the case may be. So I love that you highlighted that. And I know you talked about some additional competencies that are necessary for talent acquisition leaders or HR leaders who are in the process of recruiting for positions today or in the future. And you've had such great success in finding talent across the world. I was so impressed with reading your CV and you know, and you're so humble that you don't share, you know, you have such a wealth of knowledge on this topic. And I'm just curious, like, how did you implement a global recruitment function? How was that experience and how did it shape the way that you view talent acquisition? I've never recruited outside of the United States. So I'm just curious to see, you know, what that process is like and what that experience was for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you very much for those compliments. So, you know, working in a global capacity, which I've done before, Royal Caribbean, managing global teams. I don't manage a global team here, but I recruit globally. And what I mean by that is Royal Caribbean's, when I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that I worked, that I pre-COVID, I worked in new build and fleet modernization. New build, our ships are built in shipyards across the globe, right? So those shipyards, yes, they may hire their own talent, but Royal Caribbean obviously needs to have a presence there too. For example, in our Ancona, Italy yard, where our Silversea edition, our Silversea brand is most dominant. You know, we hire a lot of technical people there, naval architecture, marine engineering, architecture and design. So finding candidates across the globe, it really is, you know, right at your fingertips if you think about it, because, you know, LinkedIn for me has been my number one tool ever since I started recruiting. I find my candidates not just through, you know, LinkedIn and that type of network, but referrals are my best friend, right? So if I hire an engineering manager in Ancona, or if I hire an engineering manager or technical director in Lobeth, or, you know, at Fincantieri in one of our yards, they'll refer candidates to me. And I'm hoping that they would also because of the experience that I provided for them to get them on board. Managing these people, it's not necessarily done by me, but our royal staff. We have offices located across the globe, as everyone knows. And we've got some very intelligent, very outgoing, enthusiastic, and not to say the least, passionate people who lead these offices, lead these yards, lead these areas and regions throughout the globe. And working with them has been a complete privilege of mine and an honor to work for them. I've learned so much from them. You know, the candidates that I hire, they have similar backgrounds to these leaders that lead our organization globally. So working with them and talking to them about their background and understanding what exactly they're looking for, that's crucial for me. Royal Caribbean is a massive company, right? Just like so many others. And a job description is a job description, right? It's very mundane sometimes. It's very just plain. So having these strategy meetings and strategy calls with the hiring managers who are hiring for these roles globally and discussing exactly what they want, because the job description will say one thing, but a hiring manager may say something completely different where they're, you know, really focused on, I really want XYZ. And it doesn't necessarily say that in the job description, but talking to them and understanding what they're looking for helps me find these candidates. And that's when the fun of recruitment really starts. The Boolean searching, the filtering of candidates, the filtering of keywords, locations, regions, years of experience. I mean, to me, it sounds nerdy. That stuff is fun.
Of course, absolutely. I love recruiting. I guess that's why we're in the talent acquisition space. But it's a very rewarding career, to say the least. Yeah. Being able to find these homes for career homes for these incredible, passionate staff members. There's nothing more fulfilling than that. And of course, moving the objectives or the business outcomes forward. Absolutely. So it's like a win-win situation. And we get to meet people around the world.
That's the best part. That's the best part. You know, I love talking to people with different accents and different cultures. And I'm just, it fascinates me, you know? I feel like it, you know, kind of molds me to be an even, you know, better person, you know, because I'm talking with so many other people from across the globe. It's incredible.
I love it. What a rewarding career. I just love talking to you. This is
thank you.
So I'm going to end with one final question, and I'd love to end all of my podcast episodes with the same question. So what career advice would you give to young professionals who are looking to break the ceiling?
Okay. This is a very good question to end with, Priscilla, I gotta say. And just thinking about it now, I want to put myself in these potential candidates' shoes, right? So candidates who are, you know, not even young professionals, but even candidates who are just, you know, unfortunately not gainfully employed any longer. The best advice I could give, first of all, do your research, no matter what. Always do your research, but, you know, make sure you go into any interview with an answer to what value that you can bring to the table, okay? And I'm sure anybody who's listening to this is gonna say, well, of course I'm gonna do that. That's, you know, that's the objective. Well, these are the times where you really need to dig down deep, right? Do a little soul searching and really figure out what are my key attributes that I will bring to the table and how can I add that in terms of what value I'm going to bring to this position and to the company. So standing out amongst the vast majority of, you know, which has never been harder before as of right now. So you really need to, you know, identify what your strongest skills are and what you can, you know, do to apply those strengths and skills to any organization. Okay. Another thing is, you know, companies, you know, are hurting, you know, they're hurting revenue wise, cash wise. So how can you bring any type of cost savings to the table? This is where I mean, you have to really dig down deep. What can I do to help with cost savings, to help a company save money, no matter what role you're going in for. And again, do your research, really prepare yourself. I was reading an article on CNBC the other day, and I actually wrote it down, and CNBC had mentioned three things. So one was 84% of recruiters are in the process of adapting to their hiring process to facilitate remote exchanges, right? Like we've been discussing this whole conversation, which means you who are listening as a candidate right now, in-person interviewing is sort of a thing of the past, let's just say, for right now. So you need to make sure and take that extra step on how you're going to add incredible value while you're on this interview. What's going to wow the hiring manager or managers once they leave the interview and they rejoin and collaborate? What's going to wow them? How are you going to wow them? Another point that CNBC mentioned, of those 84%, 58% are now using social media networks like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram to connect with potential hires. It's something that we've always done, but I think even more now. So for those of you listening again, make sure your social media is cleaned up, clean to the whistle, buttoned up. Make sure your posts are legitimate. Make sure, you know, you be careful what you share, because people like me, like Priscilla, like hiring managers, you know, we're looking because we want the best of the best. So we're going to do even more research on you than we ever have done before. So button up your social media. And just the last thing that they mentioned, a growing army of recruiters are also turning to video conferencing to screen interview candidates. We know that, right? So just make sure you have a good setting. Make sure there's no interruptions. Make sure you're dressed like you're actually physically on an interview. You know, so all of these things are extremely important. But my number one piece of advice, despite everything I said, is you need to be an innovator and you need to act on it and identify your strengths and how you can apply them to the position you are interviewing for, and make sure that you have done all of your research to make sure that you land this job. And go in there with confidence. Confidence is key.
Love that. Confidence, most definitely. And being able to dig deep and look at our strengths. I think most of us have gone through a similar activity, I hope, during these times, just to really reflect on what we not only bring to the table, but what we can do differently and be the best versions of ourselves. So I love that you shared that. Thank you so much, Josh. This was
an incredible
episode. You provided such great index on all of your experiences and everything that you bring to the table, and you are so valuable at Royal Caribbean. So I commend you and your team for doing such wonderful work, and I look forward to going back to normal so that I can cruise too.
Oh, I can't wait to get on a cruise ship.
I cannot wait. Oh man, I would typically go like twice a year, so I'm so excited.
I know, I miss it. Thanks for having me so much. I really enjoyed this. Your questions were outstanding, and I love working with Ivy Podcast.
Thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. Have a great
day. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a minute to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you in the next episode.